My hometown is no stranger to tragedy. The first bad thing I remember is Kimmy Dorner's disappearance. What was I, 5, maybe 6? Late elementary school at most. But I remember it, clear as day. The story went that Kimmy, who'd been the same age as my older brother, was with her boyfriend at Lover's Lane. She got taken from the car, kicking and screaming, dragged into the swamp to her death. The police suspected her boyfriend at first. He hanged himself a few weeks after it happened. He'd refused to talk about the horror before committing suicide. Everyone chalked it up to shame. Shame that Kimmy had been taken and that he hadn't been able to do anything about it. When another disappearance took place a week later, the search for a culprit began anew. "Drum up a drifter," they said. "A homicidal maniac."
"What about Lanternhead?"
"Shut up, you snot-nosed kid. Lanternhead's just a legend. There's no such thing as the boogeyman."
So the cops kept looking in all the wrong places, just like they had throughout the entire history of my town. And more disappearances took place, just like they had over the generations before mine. Always during the fall and winter. Always when the persistent veil of fog settles in over our town and the swamp surrounding it, staying there until spring thaws the frozen earth.
"But what about Lanternhead?"
"Nope," they said. "No such thing as monsters, kids. We all know that song you sing. The one that's been sung by kids in this town since the first brick was laid. But it's just a song."
"Lanternhead, Lanternhead, see the bad light and you'll soon be dead. Underground, way far down, the dead ones wear a forever frown. In the swamp you'll take a jaunt. A quick end is all you'll really want. Lanternhead, Lanternhead, see the bad light and you'll soon be dead."
"Just a song," they said. "Came out of nowhere, a kid with a wild imagination and too much damn time on their hands. A game of telephone from one kid to the next, until the lyrics became seared into everyone's brain like a cattle brand."
"Sure thing, 10-4, officer. We'll shut up about it. Let's look for that drifter you were mentioning."
But for every drifter they found and blamed for the crimes, for every innocent person they locked away, the horror continued. Little girls stolen from their beds, taken to the swamp, and a fate much worse than death. Middle school boys on their way to baseball practice, swooped up like mice in a hawk's talons. Hell, even college kids, pulled over to the side of the road to snooze after drinking too much. The next morning, a car, but no college kid to drive it. I don't remember a day since the one I heard about Kimmy Dorner that I haven't thought about Lanternhead. For a while, it was just a ghost story, huddled up in a friend's room inside a blanket fort. Flashlights under our chins telling stories about the strange creature responsible for the terror. It wasn't until I encountered Lanternhead myself that I realized the horror was real. Last I checked, dating back to my town's founding in the late 1800s, there have been 543 disappearances. It's a wonder that anyone stays in this damn place. But for whatever reason, we do, and so does Lanternhead. I've talked to a high school friend of mine a dozen times about Lanternhead. My friend left town when we graduated, and eventually became an anthropologist. I asked if there were connected pieces of folklore, maybe something that could explain things. He told me to check out Luz Mala, the Uruguayan spirit that led gauchos into the swamp and their subsequent demise. He said I should look into Will-o'-the-Wisp, too, the atmospheric ghost light that anyone who's ever read a scary story has probably heard of. But when I pushed the issue about the potential connection to Lanternhead, I could sense my friend's disbelief. Here I was, a full-grown adult, still taking the myth seriously. People who left our town forgot the legend, but I never left, and I never forgot the night when the true horror started. I was 12 years old. It was a Tuesday in mid-October, the night before garbage day. As I pushed my family's 50-gallon trash can out to the street, I saw him. Or it. A human-like figure with a grinning, glowing skull, surrounded by a clear, prismatic casing. The skull and the chamber surrounding it shone into the darkness like a lighthouse beacon.
"Lanternhead, Lanternhead."
Seeing him made my guts turn to liquid.
"Lanternhead, Lanternhead, See the bad light, and you'll soon be dead.
And I'd seen him. That radiant, cranial light. I turned back to my house, preparing myself to run through the open garage door. But somehow I'd already been pulled away. Even though I'd been standing still, I was 50 yards from the house, following Lanternhead even though I hadn't even moved my feet.
Underground, way far down, the dead ones wear a forever frown.
He was pulling me towards the swamp near our house. Tendrils of fog reached throughout our neighborhood, and it became thicker the closer you got to the water. When I looked down again, I noticed that the fog had become a pea soup gruel, knee-high and climbing higher. I tried to run, but the viscous mist stopped me, like putty. It had swallowed my feet, making each attempted step slow and sluggish. An invincible undertow continued sweeping me deeper into the swamp. The trees were growing thicker, vines hanging down like hands, witch hair moss dangling like a trophy from a scalped crone. The leech-filled sludge seeped into my shoes. It crept under my pants, licking my goose-fleshed legs, the cold water making my man parts suck up into the pit of my stomach. Lanternhead looked back at me and smiled. Through the glowing glass case around his head, I saw loose, crooked teeth.
The dead ones wear a forever frown, right?
He rasped.
That's how it goes? Well, let me show you.
I was yanked beneath the surface of the mist, pulled into a dry cavity at the base of a towering tree, and then I was free-falling. I landed on a sort of squishy bed. I began sinking into it, more of the swamp putty swallowing me whole. Then I realized what it actually was. Decomposing bodies. A mass grave filled with the people Lanternhead had lured into the swamp and killed over the years. After what seemed like an hour of sinking through the limbs and legs and disconnected torsos, I reached what I thought was the bottom. I fought for breath, the mass of bodies pressing in on me, smashing my chest, constricting my airway. I looked to my side to see Kimmy Dorner. She was wearing a forever frown, the corners of her mouth stitched downward into an inverted smile.
It's not so bad, Ryan,
Kimmy mumbled, a leech slithering out of her mouth. Her skin had taken on a green hue, eaten away by exposure to the rotten swamp.
Best to just accept it.
I fought back, but the bodies pressed down even harder, and then I was yanked through the bottommost strata of the grave into a dry cavern. I saw that Lanternhead was standing by a table, an altar. He was busy organizing a set of sharp stone tools. He had a ream of makeshift thread. It was the same stuff that had been binding Kimmy's mouth into a permanent forever frown, twined from the swamp reeds and witch hair moss. Lanternhead motioned to the shadows, and more of the dead ones emerged. All of them were wearing haunting forever frowns. They lifted me and carried me to the altar. I saw Lanternhead up close. Human, at one point, he had to have been, surely. But an ancient, unspeakable evil had changed him.
In the swamp, you'll take a jaunt. A quick end is all you'll really want.
The terrifying, continuous sing-song chanting continued. Does it end quickly? I asked.
So sorry. A quick end isn't something I can promise. We have forever, after all.
The dead ones held my head down. Lanternhead approached with a thick sliver of stone, which had been chiseled into the shape of a needle. A strand of witch hair moss was threaded through its jagged eye. The tip of the stone needle touched my upper lip on the right side of my mouth, then plunged in. The pain was excruciating. The stone needle danced and dove, creating three full stitches, binding the right side of my mouth downward. Finishing up, Lanternhead stopped to measure out another strand of makeshift thread. Driven by a sudden desire to survive, to see adulthood rather than be stuck forever in the mire of the swamp, I fought my way from the dead one's grasp. I ran, urged on by Lanternhead. They pursued me. I crawled up the wall of the cavern, toward the pulsating base of the mass grave. Grasping whatever I could, I pulled myself upward.
Underground, way far down, the dead ones wear a forever frown.
The dead ones grabbed at my legs, attempting to pull me back down into the cavern. Despite my exhaustion and partially stitched lips, I continued climbing. I grabbed whatever I could, roots, intact arms, severed legs, skulls, and waterlogged branches. I inched my way through the mass grave, using solid pieces like they were rungs on a ladder, fighting my way toward the moonlit swamp overhead. Then I breached the surface. I caught my feet at the edge of the cavity beneath the tree, kicking away the grasping dead ones. Their chanting continued, boring its way into my brain.
Lanternhead, Lanternhead, see the bad light, and you'll soon be dead.
I'd seen the bad light. Half of my mouth stitched downward, I struggled to draw breath. The dead ones were pursuing me too fast. They were being urged on by Lanternhead himself, who had begun levitating above the misty swamp, surrounded by spectral light.
In the swamp you'll take a jaunt, a quick end is all you really want.
If they pulled me back, just let it freaking end. The excruciating pain on the side of my mouth was almost too much to bear. The filthy witch hair moss that Lanternhead yanked through the pencil-sized holes in my lips was coated with invisible toxins. A throbbing infection had already begun to spread.
See the bad light and you'll soon be dead.
But I saw another light. The light of our town. Dazzling stars. The light of houses on the outskirts of the swamp. Friendly signposts leading back to the world of the living. And as I made my way forward, the chanting behind me began to quiet, then die. My pulse continued to thrum, but I no longer felt the presence of the dead ones and of Lanternhead on my heels. My house. I saw it. The garage door was still open. I passed it and ran inside, crashing through the door into the mudroom.
Ryan, what the hell is that smell?
My mom rounded the corner.
Honey, what happened to your face?
I fell into my mom's fancy white carpet, covering it with decomposing sludge caked to my body. I looked upward at the LED glow, shining brightly from recessed casings. Time passed, and the lights transformed into those of an emergency room. The anesthesiologist covered my face. I faded from consciousness, and despite my drug-induced state, I dreamt. More of a nightmare, really. A nightmare that forced me to relive the dark fate from which I had narrowly escaped. After I'd recovered from surgery, I'd gone with the cops into the swamp, leading them to where I'd been pulled beneath it. There was no mass grave as I'd described it, but once the forensic team came, they found the remains of people who'd disappeared from over the years. Some of the remains dated back a decade, some more than a century. A diver went down into the swamp, but there was no sign of a cavity below the earth. No sign of a cavernous chamber where Lantern had stitched forever frowns into the faces of the abducted. I still think about the horror of what happened every time I take the trash out. Mercifully, as a kid, my parents had taken that chore off my to-do list. But in adulthood, I'd started doing it to spare my own children from ever seeing the bad light. And I found myself doing it once again, wheeling the 50-gallon trash can to the end of the driveway as a middle-aged man, remembering what happened all those years ago. I pulled the trash can to a stop at the end of our driveway and reached up to the right side of my mouth. The gnarled scars were still there, the ones that had made people look at me funny my whole life. That side of my face had become permanently drooped, the same way a stroke victim's face looks. There were knobs of scar tissue where the witch's hair had been pulled through with Lanternhead's stone needle. The surgeon's goal had been to quell the infection, to preserve some flesh. Making me look beautiful had been less of a priority. I'd never forgotten what happened, even though so many did. I think the danger lies in forgetting. The disappearances decreased after I survived, after I took the police to the swamp. They even stopped for a while. But so many years later, the disappearances had started again. Two more had taken place, added to the four that had happened the previous year.
What about Lanternhead? Shut up, you weirdo. Lanternhead's just a legend. There's no such thing as the boogeyman.
I knew what happened to the ones who disappeared. The ones with the forever frowns. The ones who'd begged for a quick end, only to be sucked into the mass grave of Lanternhead's numerous victims. The danger lies in forgetting. The world wanted me to forget. There was no grinning figure, surely. No lights, save for the ones around my neighborhood. Porch lights and the ones cast by my living room lamps, which at that moment were slowly going out, one by one. Leaving the trash can, I hurried inside. When I got in, I heard a familiar chanting coming from upstairs.
Lanternhead, Lanternhead, see the bad light and you'll soon be dead.
The words echoed down the hallway. I ascended the stairway to the second floor, where my wife and the kids were tucked away safely. My pulse jackhammered, threatening to break through my ribcage. The house was cold, a draft coming from somewhere. I realized it was coming from the twins' room, which is where the chanting was, too.
In the swamp you'll take a jaunt. A quick end is all you'll really want.
But the swamp was outside, there was no danger. I opened the door to the twins' bedroom to see that they were huddled beneath a blanket fort, just like I had done so many times at their age. The room was the source of the cold air. The window was wide open. "What are you doing, kiddos?" I asked. "It's past bedtime. You have school tomorrow."
"Singing about Lanternhead, Daddy," said my son.
"Why? Please don't do that anymore."
"Because the scars on your face?"
asked my daughter. My guts turned to liquid, just like they had on the night I'd been taken at 12 years old. None of my kids knew why the scars were there. My wife didn't either. She thought it was a burn. I'd never told her what the real cause was.
"Lanternhead said that you only have half a forever frown," said my son.
Both he and his sister hugged my legs.
"But it's not too late to finish up."
"What are you talking about?" I bent down to them. "Where did you hear this?" They smiled.
"Don't be afraid, Daddy. We heard it from Lanternhead. He left just a few minutes ago. He's on his way home. But he said he'll always light the way for us if we need it."
I rushed to the open window and looked out. Trailing away into the swamp, I saw a ghostly light. Then I felt a sudden presence behind me.
"There he goes now," said my son. "But he pinky promised he'd be back."
He held up his little finger to show me. It was coated in muck from the swamp.